All right. Well, today we're finishing up our series called Boat Stories. And we're not doing this series just because I love boats, which I do. But we're doing this series because there's a whole lot of stories in the Bible where God worked in and through people who were on a boat or around a boat or going out to shore or something about that. There's a lot of stories about boats. We've talked about Jonah and Noah. We've talked about Paul. And today we're going to look at one of the most popular stories, boat stories in the Bible. When Jesus walked on water, and Jesus invited Peter to do the same thing. And I find it really interesting about these boat stories because so many of these boat stories have a very common theme to them. So many of the stories in the Bible around boats have to do with trusting God more deeply or an invitation to realize who God is in the middle of your situation. And I pray that today, as we talk about this story that might be a little bit familiar to you, maybe if you grew up in church, it may be a new one, that's okay. I just pray that you hear it in a new way, in a fresh way. In a way that speaks exactly to where you are today. And I have to kind of a moment of confession as we enter into this story. When I was younger, I remember being in church, learning about this story of Jesus walking on the water, Jesus calling Peter to do the very same thing. I remember hearing about this and hearing that Peter was able to walk on the water at least for a little bit. And after I kind of built up enough faith, this is when I was younger, I decided to test my faith in the place that made the most sense, the swimming pool. Right? You know, I went to the swimming pool at North Manor in Norcross, Peachtree Corners area, and I was ready to test out my faith. I'd read about it. If Peter can walk on water, then I can walk on water as well. You know, I mean, this is what kids do. When they pray for rain, they get an umbrella. They expect when God says something, you can take it to the bank. I was like that. It was last week. No. So I got to the edge of the pool, and I'm standing on firm, solid ground, looking at my toes, looking at the water, the certainty I was standing on, the uncertainty I was about to step out on. And after I kind of, you know, built up enough faith, I tried to kind of act spiritual, you know, give my spiritual face on, whatever that means, you know, but I started like, think about Jesus, you know? And I remember stepping out into the pool, and I thought, this is going to be great. But all of a sudden, I ended up doing a toothpick into the pool. I sank as soon as I hit the water. And I thought, man, like, what is wrong with my faith? I mean, you know, I was, you know, stepping out in faith and saying, Jesus, take the wheel. You know, that song wasn't out then. But anyway, it was one of those things where I thought, man, there must be something wrong with me. Come on, I got to walk on water like Peter did. And so I decided, well, maybe God needs a little bit of help. I mean, maybe, you know, with these laws of buoyancy and everything, I mean, maybe God just needs me to push him along a little bit. So I went to the deep end. And I remember lining up about 10 to 15 yards away from the edge of the pool in the deep end. And I ran as fast as I could toward the water. And I jumped out as hard as I could. And I kicked my legs trying to run across the water. And of course, I fought the laws of buoyancy and the law won. I sank again. And I thought to myself, like, what is wrong with me? Maybe sometime in my life, I will have big enough faith that I can walk on water like Peter did. Be honest, when you heard that story, how many of you tried something like that in the pool or in the lake before? Maybe it was just me, in a moment of confession. Thanks, guys, for helping me out there. Raise your hand out of pity, please, you know. Yes, I did that too. You know, I think it's one of those things where I remember doing that and trusting God to do something that seems so impossible, but I believed that Jesus was going to allow me to do it. But I think somewhere along the way in all of our lives, whether it's we progress in our faith journey, whether it's a time when we grow up, get older, maybe get a little bit more mature in our lives, somewhere along the way, I'm afraid that we quit trying to walk on the water toward Jesus. I'm afraid that so many times we settle in for following Jesus in a more calculated or in a more responsible way. Right? And we stop risking. We stop being willing to trust God to perform the miracles that God wants to do in our lives and through our lives. We stop being willing to get out of our boat and to trust God. And so many times we trust God to do things that are maybe we stop trusting God to do things that are so much beyond what we can do on our own. And we start trusting God with only the things that we can handle in our own strength. And so when God calls us to something, we can calculate it and say, well, I'll do that if it means that if I step out in faith, it's something so small that if I step out in faith and God doesn't catch me, then it means that I can still do it on my own. And so we so oftentimes follow Jesus in a more calculated way. We settle for following Jesus in an easier way, in a more comfortable way. and for things that really don't depend on God's strength. We stop being willing, trying to walk on water because maybe we're afraid of failing. Failing ourselves, failing in maybe our career, failing in some kind of way in our family. If we were to step out like that, maybe we're afraid of failing and realizing that maybe God's power that we put to the test is maybe not as limitless as we once thought. Sometimes we're afraid of failure. And the question I have for you this morning is, I wonder what Jesus might be able to do in you. And what Jesus might be willing to do through you. If you were willing, to get out of that boat, the comfortable places that you find security, and you're willing to walk with him. The story picks up in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 14. It's actually in three of the gospels, but we're going to look at the one in Matthew chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn in your Bibles to that or on your smartphone, but the words will also be on the screen. And let me set this up for you, just to let you know kind of what's happening. Sometimes we just read a story and we don't know what's gone on before. And it's really important because Jesus had been teaching his disciples. He'd been out on a hillside, out in the middle of the field, teaching them about him and who God is and the kingdom of God. And as he was teaching, all of a sudden, you know, sometimes maybe you're like this in church, like, come on, Andy, wrap it up. I'm getting hungry. You know, lunch is about to start. This is what the disciples started to do. They started to think, hey, this teaching is really good, but man, we're starting to get hungry. And one of the disciples says, hey, Jesus, I think all these people might be hungry. Not me, but I think all these guys might need something to eat. We do that sometimes. But anyway, and so Jesus sees the need. And there's about 5,000, at least 5,000 men. Oftentimes, they didn't count the women and children. It could be up to 20,000. Who knows? But Jesus was able to feed at least 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we saw in this passage right before this how Jesus was able to take their limited resources and to make it abundant. Jesus was able to take what they thought was a gap that they didn't have. And Jesus was able to provide for that need. And so immediately after this, you're going to see this in the passage. Here's what happens, Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22. Here's what it says. Immediately after Jesus did this, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray, or by himself to pray. That's a good thing to do as a leader. That's a good thing to do in your family. Go off on your own and pray. Later that night, he was there alone, verse 24. And the boat was already a considerable distance from land. We know the disciples were about 3 miles geographically off of the shore. And it says this, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. So here the disciples are. They're out on in the middle of the lake, about 3 miles out. It's about 3 a.m. It's very dark. And wouldn't you know it, a storm comes on the lake. The storm comes up on the lake and rough waters start kicking up. And we talked about storms last week and how God wants to help us in the middle of our storms. And God is bigger than anything we face. But it's interesting when you see when you see what the deal was with the storm. See, sometimes we encounter a storm and we think, well, maybe we caused the storm in some kind of way. Sometimes that's the case. We saw that with Jonah, where Jonah, his disobedience for God, God told him to go to Nineveh and he went in the exact opposite direction. Sometimes storms come because we cause them. We all know that. Sometimes storms come because other people have caused it in some kind of way in our lives. That person has caused so much chaos in my life. Sometimes storms come because we live in a fallen, broken world. And sometimes they come because we have an enemy, Satan, who desires to distract and hijack you from the life God wants to give you. But that's not what's going on here with the disciples. It's interesting. It says Jesus made the disciples get out on a boat. It doesn't sound like they have much choice, does it? I mean, it's kind of funny. Just imagine he fed 5,000 people. And then Jesus said, just imagine this conversation. All right, guys, I know it's really late, but I want you to row out on the boat. And Peter's like, I got this. I'm a fisherman. But they're like, are you sure, Jesus? I mean, it's kind of late. Yeah, go out on the boat. But I'm kind of tired. No, go. Jesus is like telling him, no, I want you to go out on the lake. He made him go out there. And it's interesting. I've heard people say that the safest place in the world is the will of God. That's a good tweetable thing. The safest place in the world is the will of God. Maybe you've heard that before. But we don't see that here. Because the reality is, Jesus made the disciples sail ahead of him. He made them go into the middle of the lake. He made them go there knowing that that was the place where they were going to encounter the storm. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like Jesus has something bigger in mind than just their comfort. And we see here that God's mission isn't about keeping storms away from our lives, but it's about leading you to trust him more deeply, to show you who he is and what he can do in your life and through your life. And so here's how the story continues, verse 25 through 27. It says this: shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. Now let's just pause there for a second. That's crazy. If you've grown up in church and you've been around this story so long, it's like, oh yeah, Jesus walked on the water. That would have freaked some people out. In fact, here's what it says, verse 26. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. Of course. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Verse 27. But Jesus immediately, see that word again, said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." You know, this isn't like Jesus is wearing swimmies or anything like that. He's not like carrying a flotation device with him, you know. Jesus is physically walking on water, defying all the laws of physics and buoyancy and everything that everybody knew. It's 3 a.m. It's pitch black. If you've ever been out on a lake really late at night, it's scary. You don't know. You can't see everything in front of you. And here comes this man or person or ghost walking out to you. They were freaking out. And you kind of think about this, like if Jesus was just coming to them to give them comfort in the storm, there's a lot better ways that he could comfort them, right? It almost seems like Jesus is like turning up the heat a little bit. Let me freak you out a little bit more. I don't know. But we're going to learn a little bit more about kind of what's going on there in a minute. But it's a reminder that when God comes to us, we oftentimes expect God to come in the ways that are most comfortable to us. In the ways that are most convenient, in the ways that are most predictable, maybe in the ways that he's always come to you before, inviting you to serve in the same ways, inviting you to go in the same places. But maybe, just maybe, Jesus wants to come to you today in a way that you don't expect. And maybe inviting you, calling you to be a part of something that maybe is so much bigger than anything you've ever jumped into before. Walking on the water. Here's what it says, verse 28. It continues. It says, "Lord," Peter replied, "if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And you just almost imagine this quiver in his voice. Lord, if it's you, you might be a ghost. If it's you, God, tell me to come to you on the water. Tell me to come. Tell me to come to you on the water. And you think about this, if you're Peter, right? If you're Peter. Now, Peter was a guy who had so much courage and so much strength. He sometimes acted first and thought about it later, but he also had moments where he was a little bit of a coward. He's the one that denied Christ 3 times before the rooster crowed, right before the resurrection. See, he's got these wishy-washy moments, but think about Peter. If you're Peter and you're asking God for a sign that it's him, if you're saying, "If this you, Jesus," you certainly don't ask for what he asked for. I mean, if I was Peter, I would have asked for something a little bit more comfortable. "Well, Jesus, if it's you, I mean, this storm is really brewing and we're out here and it's, I don't know how we can get back. Just calm the storm right now, Jesus. Amen, in Jesus' name. Calm the storm." But he didn't ask that, did he? I love the faith of Peter. I love the faith of Peter because Peter wanted to see God do something in his life and through his life. He knew the identity. He knew that if God was with him, that God, what God called him to, he would be able to accomplish it. And the reality is, when we think about this, when we face some kind of uncertainty in our life, we often pray more comfortable prayers. "God, take away the storm. God, remove this scenario. God, bring me some comfort." But Peter didn't ask God to stop the storm. He asked God for what? A command. A command. Come. See, I think so many times in our lives, we miss the will of God. We miss maybe the invitation of the big things God might want to do in us and through us because we choose what's most comfortable, what's most convenient over following the command of God. I can tell you this. I remember reading this book by John Piper, "Don't Waste Your Life." And I remember reading this book and thinking, you know what? We only have a certain amount of time on this earth. And I remember reading this when I was like an older teenager, maybe a young adult. I'm still a young adult. But I remember reading this and thinking, you know what? If this is my life and this is the time God gives me to live here, I don't want to waste my life sitting in the boat. I want to be willing to step out in faith and to see how God can be faithful in my life and through my life. I think the only reservations that we have in our lives is the times when we're unwilling to get out of the boat and to trust him. The times when we let fear take over. See, do you remember who Peter was? I mean, remember who Peter was before he started following Jesus? You may remember earlier in the Gospels, Jesus came to some fishermen. Peter was one of those guys. He was a fisherman. He knew everything there was to know about boating and being on a boat. This was a comfortable place for him. I mean, he spent his whole career on a boat fishing. And history that not only it was not only Peter did this, but probably his parents and their parents and their parents before them. Everybody who was a part of Peter's family knew everything there was to know about boating and fishing and being out on the lake. In fact, Peter would have known very well about currents. He would have known everything about storms. This storm was probably no big deal for him. It was probably not even that uncomfortable. He knew about fishing and nets. He knew about what it's like to be out in the middle of the lake at 3 a.m. when it's pitch black dark. He knew about boats. It was a comfortable place for him. In fact, we don't know if Peter helped build a boat or anything like that, but we know he was probably very familiar with the process of what it's like to build a boat with human hands, with human ingenuity. And this is what he had trusted in for so long, this boat of security. This boat represented the safest, most comfortable, most predictable place for him. And Peter could have spent his whole time out on the lake. This happened in just moments. He could have spent that whole time on the lake anchored to the thing that he knew best, boats. He could have spent that whole time saying, you know what? I'm staying in this thing because I know how this is going to turn out. But that's not what he does. He reaches out to Jesus and he essentially says this, Lord, if it's you, ask me to come to you. Ask me to pull up my anchor, to leave the things that I have trusted in before and allow me to trust you in a new way. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you and allow me to walk on water, trusting you. Isn't that a bold prayer? I think it's crazy. See, the boat, it wasn't a bad place. It wasn't a bad place to be, but if Peter chose to remain comfortably anchored in that boat that he knew best, he would have never learned how to trust God to be his security. He would have kept depending on the same things he always had before. And I wonder in your life and in my life, what might your boat be this morning? What might that boat be, where that place in your life where you depend on for your security and for your strength, that place that you go to when everything seems to be falling apart? What is that thing in your life that you cling to and you put your anchor to? See, for comfort or for strength or for security. I mean, so many times in our life, it's easy to trust in things. It's easy to trust in other people. It's easy to trust in all the circumstances and what our minds tell us is going to happen instead of relying on the voice and the promise of God. It's so easy to do that. What's your boat today? Maybe for some of us, our boat may be some degree of success that we're pursuing. And success isn't a bad thing, but maybe we're pursuing success and that it's almost like, if only we get here in my career, honey, then everything's going to be fine and our family's going to be good and we're going to have this security. We're going to be great. Is success the boat? Maybe for you, your boat may be some kind of person in your life or a relationship. Maybe we cling to that person instead of clinging to the Lord. For so many of us, that boat is our money, our finances. And for so many times, there's a saying in church that says, when we talk about money, people get funny. Because we're not used to people talking about the thing that we so often cling to the most. That's what we cling to so many times. And Jesus may be wanting to say to you today, all that's good, but don't cling to that. Don't depend on that for your strength. Depend on me. See, it's really a heart issue. We depend on our abilities or competencies. We depend on so many things. What's your boat? See, so many times we choose to anchor to those boats in our life that seem safe and secure. Those places in our life where we can find strength. And you may say, well, okay, fine. That sounds great. What if I step out? What if I step out of the boat? And how do I know that I can really depend on God? One preacher once said, well, you've got to step out to find out. You've got to step out to find out. See, if you ever want to know if God is faithful, you've got to be willing to stand on the promises of God and to step out in faith. And as I've done that in my life over and over and over, the only times I've regretted are times when I sat in fear and said, I don't know God, I don't know if I can do it. But as I've stepped out in faith in my life in so many different areas, God has proven himself to be faithful. And the same is true for you, and God wants to do the same thing for me. See, God wants to show us that he wants to be the anchor for our life. And so Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Give me a command. Here's what Jesus says, verse 29. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. That's crazier. I mean, this is not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is a mess up. This is a guy who oftentimes takes a step before he thinks about it. This is Peter, a normal disciple just like you and me, with flaws and with blemishes. He steps out on the water, trusting Jesus, and he starts walking on the water. This is crazy. It's interesting because he's walking on the word from the Lord. See, if you want to walk on water, this shows us that if you want to walk on water, you've got to be willing to pull up the anchor and to get out of your comfortable boat. You've got to be willing to get out of the boat. See, this tells us a lot about prayer, though, too, in our lives, how important it is. See, Peter was willing to ask God what those other knuckleheads in the boat weren't willing to do. He was willing to ask God to do something so much greater than anything he could do in his own capacity, while the other disciples are like, maybe it is a ghost, and let's just stay in the boat and let's see what happens. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. He says, come. Peter walks on the water, and the disciples are watching this. They're the spectators, not getting to participate in what God was wanting to do. And the reality is they stayed in that comfortable boat, depending on so many other things instead of Jesus. See, it tells us about prayer. See, prayer power goes so much further than people power. See, this is so important in ministry. This is so important for us as a church. If we ever start walking without Jesus, if we ever start walking without the power of prayer behind this ministry, then we're not going anywhere. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. But when Jesus gets connected to imperfect people like Peter, like you, and like me, God can do things in us and through us that we never could imagine before. So no more driving those areas with skill or experience alone, because even our best built boats can't take us where Jesus can. The question is this: will you commit to prayer? Will you commit to prayer these certain areas in your life? And will you pray like they depend on God? And so we look at this, and I look, Craig Rochelle, and he once said this: God is looking for men and women who are faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm, risk takers for the kingdom of God. I love that. The athlete in me loves that. But you notice it's about God's strength and it's about God's power. People who are willing to bet the farm and risk it all in order to follow Jesus. See, God's looking for people who don't insult God by small thinking, who don't insult God with small living. God is looking for churches who have a mind of Christ and aren't going to insult God by asking too small, but are willing to step out in faith and to trust God to do something in us and through us together to reach this community and this world for the sake of the gospel. And as we take that step of faith and we realize God has been faithful, God will do things in us and through us we never, ever imagine. See, people, God's looking for people who don't let fear hold them back. And so here's the question: are you willing to step out from your comfortable boat today, whatever that may be, and allow Jesus to use you in a new way, in a fresh way? Here's how it continues. Verse 30 says this: But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And you could read this and you could hear about this and say, yeah, see what happens? I mean, this is what I'm worried about. See what happens? He trusted Jesus and he sank. He trusted Jesus and he failed. But that's not what happened. You see, when Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, as he was walking on a command from the Lord, he was able to do what God called him to. He was able to walk on water. But the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, he looked at all of his surroundings and he started depending on his own strength, he started to sink. And the same is true for you, and the same is true for me. When God calls you to do something or to depend on him, if you do it without the Lord, you're going to sink. But before you say, well, I guess Peter just didn't have enough faith. That's what I thought in the pool, right? I guess I just didn't have enough faith. What about those other jokers that never got out of the boat? They didn't have enough faith to be willing to get out of the boat and to see how God would be faithful. See, they didn't have the faith to step out and to walk on the water. They never got to experience it. And so when Peter began to sink, I want you to notice what Jesus did. What did he do? Jesus didn't, once they started falling to the ground, he didn't hold them underwater and say, well, that's, you know, I'm going to teach you a lesson for doing something crazy like that. He didn't turn to the disciples in the boat and say, see what happens when you trust me to do silly things that depend on me? He didn't say that, did he? He says, immediately, Jesus reached out his hands. Jesus reached out his hands and he caught him. And he says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And I don't think he says this to him in a way that's scolding. We expect God to say stuff like that. See, yeah, you got what you deserve. No, he's basically saying, it was working. You were trusting in me. Why did you stop trusting? Why'd you stop trusting? And so we realize all this. Verse 32, it says this. And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. See, I love this. I love how Jesus is working with Peter. And I love how Jesus allowed Peter, he pulled him back up and allowed him to walk back on the water all the way back to the boat. See, Jesus doesn't leave us in our failures. He picks us up and allows us to walk with him. See, God didn't send the storm into their lives in order to destroy them. In fact, check out what it says. The whole response, verse 33, this is what the whole point of the passage was. Not about Peter's faith. Or unbelief. Here's what it was. Then those who were in the boat, all those other jokers who weren't willing to get out of the boat, when they saw this, they worshiped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. And that's the goal that God has for your life and for my life. That as we step out in faith, people see our lives and they're drawn into the power and the presence of God. See, the same thing happened to the disciples as they saw the grace of God that was available for Peter when he fell. As they saw the power of God that was available to allow Peter to walk on the water. These disciples, they realized, whoa, this is the guy. I mean, not even the guy, this is our God. He's the Son of God. See, this is what God wants to do in our lives. See, God doesn't send the disciples into the world to destroy them. He sent them into the storm to strip away all the false boats of security that they've been clinging to. And so the question I have for you today is this. As you think about these boats of security you have, what is that boat of security in your life? What are the things in your life that you've been anchoring your life to? What are the things you've been depending on instead of the Lord? Maybe those areas where you try to find security. When you came in this morning, you received an anchor, and I want to encourage you to take that out. If you didn't get it, we'll have some in the back in just a minute, but I want to encourage you to take that out, and I want you to think about what that boat is in your life. What's that thing that you've been anchoring your life to instead of the Lord, or maybe depending on instead of the Lord? And I want to encourage you this week, as you look, I want you to take it home, put it somewhere in your car or desk, put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And I want it to be a reminder to you that if we anchor to other boats in our lives, we'll sink. But when we anchor our lives to the Lord, God will hold us up and he'll do things in us and through us that we never could imagine. So what are those boats? Are you willing to leave that boat and follow Jesus? Are you willing to step out of your comfort and convenience in order to trust God? But as you step out in faith, I want to encourage you to be praying this prayer. And it says that on the anchor, Spirit, lead me. It all depends on God. Spirit, lead me. And that's the prayer we have for today. And that's the thing I want to encourage you in today. That's what we're going to sing about today as we step out in faith. The prayer is this. God, may your Spirit lead me. Be my strength. Show me that I can trust you. Show me that you're Lord of all. Spirit, lead me. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love and for your mercy and for the ways that you lead us and guide us. And God, I thank you that you don't call us to comfortable things. You call us to trust you in ways that demonstrate your strength. God, thank you that you are Lord of all. You're the creator of everything. You're the sustainer of everything. And yet, God, you call us your friend and you want a relationship with us. And God, I thank you so much for the ways that you invite us to things that are so much beyond what we can do. Whether it's a place to serve, whether it's a way to trust you, whether it's to give up something in our life, whether it's to stop clinging to something that we've been anchoring to. God, I pray that you would guide us and lead us. As we pull up the anchor, step out of our boat, we pray that you would be faithful. But God, we pray that your Spirit would lead us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.